Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for your son, Jesus, who is the King of Kings, God. Of all the authority over all this world, it's his name that's above any other name. God, we love you. And God, I pray for the heart in the room that may feel a little heavy today, a little overwhelmed. God, I pray that you would calm them and remind them that you are ever present in their lives. God, we love you. We thank you for this moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thanks for being here. Welcome. My name is Chris, and I'm really glad that you're here today. And we're going to jump into Psalm 63. Paul mentioned that our students are away at camp, and so feel a bit of a void this morning without those students around, high school, middle schoolers. And so I talked to Jacob, our student pastor, last night. He had no voice, so that's a good sign. He's doing well. It sounded like we were having a great time. And so, we've been in this sermon series called Summer in the Psalms. And the intention of this series is that we would take the summer, slow down a bit, and make sure that our own relationships with God were growing and vibrant. And my hope is that in the routine of summer, with a little bit of a different rhythm, that you can carve out some more time to spend with God throughout the summer months. And so it's wild to me how fast summer goes, though. Isn't it wild? I mean, this is like the last weekend in June. It's almost July. My neighbors have already decided it's the 4th of July with the fireworks and stuff. It's pretty wild. You know, for me, if I was going to spend big money on mortar fireworks, I wouldn't shoot them off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, though. You know, like yesterday, I literally thought a cannon was in my backyard. I didn't know what just happened. Okay. Cool. We have a good time here, so we like to joke, and so some of you are already on the neighborhood apps, you know, like, shut the fireworks down. Anyway, so it's fine, but I'm not that guy, I had a large cup of coffee this morning, and then my wife walked in and handed me a cup of coffee as she came to second service. So anyway, so I'm doing good. I'm doing good, and I'm glad you're here. But we're going to talk today about what you do whenever your soul feels empty. And I recently got a new phone charger. And I like when my life gets simpler. I like whenever somebody invents something that means that I have to use less wires, less cables. I actually love this phone charger. Oh, I'm making a knot. I hate that. I love this phone charger because it can charge not only my phone, but it can also charge my AirPods and my watch. Watch this. This is crazy. So this is this little thing flaps down. I can put my AirPods right here. This is cool, right? I feel like I'm on QVC, like I'm selling something. And then this is cool because you can take this, and this my watch can sit on this, my iWatch, my Apple Watch, whatever they call it. And all that stuff can charge all in one. Because a frustration in my household is all the cable management stuff. You know, like by the bedside that you have a charger for my phone, and a charger for my AirPods, and a charger for my watch. That's three chargers. You know, that's a lot going on, right? And so I found this thing, which is amazing. And it's also portable. So it can charge my phone. Like I got to show you. This is so cool. This is so cool. And my phone's charging with that. Let's see, I got to press this little button, and then it goes. And it's just it's charging right now. How cool is that, right? Don't you want one? This is cool. I bought this on Amazon. It's pretty nice. I bought it. I liked it so much that I asked for one for my birthday. And so then I have one here at the office. I have one at the house, which is awesome. And it's really convenient. Now, here's the thing. A few weeks ago, I was at the end of my day, and it was time to go to bed. It was bedtime, right? And my phone was at 1%, right? We've all been in that place where your phone's at 1%, and you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to bed. You know, my phone's at 1%. And I guess I'm going to bed now. I had just enough light, or I had just enough power to turn the flashlight on so I don't trip on something going upstairs to our bedroom. And I plug my phone in, which this is a real first world problem. I got sick of plugging my phone in. Like, it's just kind of annoying, finding the cable, whatever. And so now, this is what charges my phone. Like, it's like, wow, that's so, so simple, so easy, and it's great. And my phone was at 1%. And, you know, I had like 7 hours of sleep that night, 7.5, whatever. I woke up whenever I wake up. It's none of your business when I woke up, weirdo. Anyway, so I'm kidding. I don't know. I wake up early these days, right? I'm getting older. and there's usually a bathroom trip or something, you know. And then also it just like the these are the longest days of the summer. Like it's bright out at like 5 a.m. right now. It's crazy. Like I feel like the rooster's crowing and I'm just ready to go. Now a few weeks ago when my phone was on 1%, though, I plugged my phone in and I went to bed and I woke up 7 or 8 hours later expecting my phone to be at 100%. That was my expectation. But what I found out was that one of my teenage son or daughters took this part of the charger, the box. So it appeared that I was connected, and it appeared that I was charging, but I was missing one critical element. The box that it plugs into is the thing, and in our house, this box is a commodity. This box is like drugs, like people need these. And I don't know what it is, but everybody just feels like, hey, Dad didn't need this, I guess. They took it. I was without it. I woke up the next day at 0%. My phone, I didn't even know how to react. I was touching it, and it wasn't on. I thought, what's going on? You know, I was so confused. And upon further investigation, I found out that I actually wasn't plugged in all night long. And I think sometimes when it comes to our relationship with God, it can feel a lot like that. Like, we think we're connected, we do some of the right things, we show up to church, and we put on the part, and we do the things, and we listen to worship music, or you do whatever, and it feels like you're plugged in, but here's what happens. Life happens, challenges come your way, circumstances that you weren't expecting, and that's where the rubber meets the road with our faith, and all of a sudden, you feel powerless. What happened? What I think sometimes can happen is we're not actually plugged into the source that we think that we're plugged into. Like we put on something like it looks like we are, but we're not actually having any intimacy with God. And I want to talk to you today, specifically from Psalm 63, about how we can gain access to God that makes us understand that we're not powerless in our problems, that whenever we have our challenges, when we have our difficulties, that we can run to this God who quenches our thirst. We can run to this God who satisfies our hunger. And so when your soul feels empty, it's really important, though, in every week of this sermon series in Psalms, we've given you some background to what's going on. So in Psalm 63, David is facing some problems. He's a little older. His kids have grown up now. He's been through some trials and some difficulties. And so, you know, David started his leadership journey as a shepherd boy. At 15 or 16 years old, he's tending to his father's sheep, and one of his first big obstacles he faced in his life was he killed this giant named Goliath. It's a crazy story. He's a smooth stone and a slingshot and kills this gigantic Philistine that everybody else was afraid of. The dude was like 9 foot tall. Like it was amazing what he did. And then David soon rises into leadership. And he ends up becoming the king of Israel. And he had some problems, he had some difficulties and some challenges, and everyone does. But the challenges that he's facing in Psalm 63 is there's an uprising, really a coup that's happening in the nation of Israel. And the coup or the uprising comes from a source that you would never expect. In fact, a civil war is essentially beginning in Israel, and it's starting with his own son named Absalom. What a name, right? Absalom, his son. Now, Absalom was a young, charismatic, good-looking leader, and people wanted to follow him. David was getting older, and Absalom is trying to run his dad out of his own kingdom. And it's quite a complicated story, and you can do the research on it, but like the lineage of David is really complicated, and there's a lot happening within this story. But the essential is he's running away. And David's on the run, and he's afraid for his own life, and it's because of his son. So if you think your family has problems, there's political problems here, there's family problems here, there's some real problems happening. And so that's the backdrop of Psalm 63. So David doesn't write this at some place where everything's hunky-dory in his life. This is definitely not one of those days where there's unicorns jumping over rainbows. Like, there's a definite challenge happening here in Psalm 63. And so, four things to do when your soul feels empty. The first thing is pursue God with urgency. There's an urgency that happens when your phone gets to 1%. You're kind of like, man, I better get that charged. There's an urgency that happens whenever one of your kids are in trouble. There's an urgency that happens whenever you're hungry or you're thirsty. There's an urgency there, right? Well, Psalm 63 says this. David writes, he says, "Oh God, you are my God." This is really good. And he's addressing God as Lord in his life. "Oh God, you are my God." There's something personal here too. Not just you are a God, not just you are the God, you are my God. He says this, "I earnestly search for you." There's an earnest and an urgency to searching for him. "My soul thirsts for you, my whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water." Then in verse 2, "I have seen you in your sanctuary and have gazed upon your power and glory." He's not asking God to necessarily rescue him. He's asking God to re-energize him. He's asking God to redeem him in this moment. He's not using prayer as a panic button. He's using prayer instead as, "God, I want to be present with you in the middle of this." And man, I just want to encourage you, the next time you go through something that feels urgent, would you pursue God with urgency instead of whatever else you're pursuing? There's other things that sometimes we can pursue, and sometimes they're not bad things, but we pursue these things and ultimately they're like empty vessels. They're things that aren't going to satisfy us. And he's recognizing that, man, I got to pursue God with urgency. You know, there are urgent moments in all of our lives when it feels like, man, you get tunnel vision. It's like, this is it. I've got to figure this out right now. And I just want to encourage you, what is it in your life right now that feels urgent? My hope for all of us is that what's front and center is an urgency for God. That I would say, man, he's the number one priority in my life. And if he's number one, that means I pursue him earnestly. That it's my first thing in the day, not my second, third, or fourth thing, or fifth thing, but that I'm pursuing God with urgency. The second thing is, would I decide, if my soul is thirsty, and I recognize that there's something missing, would I let God be my satisfaction? That my soul is only satisfied in him. Look at this in verses 3 through 5. It says this, "Your unfailing love is better than life itself." That's a big statement to make, by the way. Like, this is not some poetic thing that David's writing. This isn't just some song that he's writing or some prayer that he's rehearsing. He declares this about the presence of God. He says, "Your unfailing love is better than life itself." David, who's in the midst of trouble, David, whose tank is running on empty, like if he had a battery charger, if his phone was at a place, if his soul was at a place, he's at 1%. David's kind of like on that journey that probably over half of us in the room are on, which is this. You're driving somewhere and the gas tank light turns on, like low fuel. There's two kinds of people in the room. Those who get off the interstate immediately and you will find the closest gas station to fill up at. And those are the people that are psychos. And then there's the normal people like us. The light goes off. And even when the alarm starts, you know, like low on fuel, you're like, all right, let's see how long this will go, you know? I mean, it even tells you, my car will tell me I got 32 miles left. And I'm like, well, I bet I could go 35. I mean, what's that? You know? I'm married to a person that's the other type. And it's, we gotta find our gas station right now. We gotta create some gas somehow. And it's like, it's gonna be fine. We're gonna be just fine, right? But when you're in that spot where you're running on empty, we're oftentimes looking for things to satisfy our souls, but we run to stuff that actually isn't going to satisfy us at all. And so when David writes this and says, man, your unfailing love, and notice that, unfailing. Like, the love of others can fail us. Like, somebody can say, I love you, and they can still let you down. But what's amazing about the love of God is it's like an unfailing love. The love that comes from God is this God that doesn't quit out, that doesn't stop, That it's not about your performance. That it's not about how you're doing or even how you're feeling. Like, if there's a fridge in heaven, your picture is on it. That's unfailing love. Like, God is crazy about you. He goes on to say, David says, how I praise you. And then he says here, this in verse 4, he says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Verse 5, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. Recently, there has been a nutritional thing that has creeped back into my life that has been a bit of a stumbling block. And it's not ice cream. Usually it's ice cream. That's a stumbling block for me. Man, I feel like when the new ice cream company came to town, the Bluebell, my gosh, yes. Dude, when Bluebell got here, it was over. I mean, my waistline went from a 34 to a 36 pretty much overnight. It was wild. It was wild. I actually prefer Bluebell to Dairy Queen or Andy's or any other ice cream around. Like, it's a value. It's you're saving money, first of all, and it's just better. I go to Dairy Queen and I ask, my order at Dairy Queen, in case you wanted to know, is a Blizzard with no chocolates, an M&M Blizzard with no chocolate sauce and half of the amount of M&Ms. Because they will dump a whole bag of M&Ms in my Blizzard. I want some ice cream with a little bit of M&Ms for texture. They ruin it. Anyways, and I have more control. I'm a control freak. I have more control at home. So the Bluebell, the chocolate Bluebell with a dash of milk, it's amazing. Kind of crystallized. Anyways, I'm into it. All right, but what's crazy, though, recently something has come back in my life that for years wasn't a problem, and that's Cinnabon. Man, what is going on with those things? They're unbelievable. And I convinced myself that I would just like split it up into like four sections, you know, and we'd feed our whole family for a day on it, you know. It's like manna from heaven. It was unbelievable. And that's how it started. It started with, we'll split this up into four sections because I did the research. It's 900 calories for one cinnamon roll. 900. Your body is supposed to just get 1,500 in a day. Two-thirds gone just from one cinnamon roll. And so it started with a quarter, and then one day I just had a whole one by myself, which was crazy. And for 20 minutes, I felt amazing. I felt so good. I was like, oh, man, I'm going to conquer the world. I'm hammering out emails. I mean, I'm just like, ah. And then I took a nap. That was it. That's all I had. But what happened is I found satisfaction in something that had empty calories in it, right? Like, it was junk. It wasn't going to actually, there was no protein, right? There was nothing that was actually going to carry me through my day. And I think sometimes that's what we, like, nutritionally we can make jokes about Cinnabon, right? But when we look at our lives, like, what is it that you are finding satisfaction in that's actually empty? And we can make a list of things. But we find our hearts and our souls are longing for something to bring us satisfaction. And we do that in money or relationships. We can do that with substances. We can do that. We can do this. We can even try to supplement our relationship with God by going to conferences and concerts and listening to podcasts and doing all these different things. But, you know, even going to church, like, yes, this is great that we're here. Way to go. It's awesome. But this is simply supplementing your relationship with God. Like, this, if this was the only meal you had all week long, you would feel very malnourished when it came to your relationship with God. And so my hope is that all of us would find our satisfaction only in Him, that we would live out verse 5. David says, you satisfy me more than a rich feast. So more than filet mignon. Like, that, there's some power behind that, dude, you know? Like, that's beyond a Cinnabon, right? Like, that's all of a sudden now I've got something that can bring me something. But David says, it's greater than a feast. Like, time with God. Let God be the thing, be the one that satisfies you. The third thing, stay close when you're in the dark. Man, whenever you're in the dark, you can still stay close to God. Like, when you're in a dark valley, when you're in a troubling time, when you're in a difficulty, you can stay close to Him. Look at this in verse 6. I lie awake thinking of you. I want to time out for a moment. I sleep pretty good most nights. But when I got a hard decision to make or a difficulty or maybe there's multiple decisions to make, sometimes I will lay awake at night and have a hard time falling asleep, or I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm thinking about it. And you know what's interesting is that none of my problems have gone away by me thinking about it over and over and over and over again. And I would love to take on the, if you've struggled with that, or maybe you're struggling with it right now, I want you to know the answer may not be Ambien or melatonin. The answer may be taking on the posture that David takes here. He says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, like thinking about God. David wasn't thinking about his problems, and homeboy had some problems. Like his own son is trying to rise up against him and create a civil war. That's a big deal. And that's some serious family issues. I mean, what you have here is you have a father that's on the run, a dad that's on the run, but he's also grieving. He left so fast from Jerusalem that he left his shoes behind. Like that's urgency. I'm going to get my shoes on, right? If my house is on fire, I'm still going to put my shoes on. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to walk outside. There's sharp things out there. I don't know. That's kind of, I have a low pain tolerance. I'm going to put some shoes on, right? But look at this. He goes on to say in verse 7, because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Stay close, even in the dark. The question today is, what are you clinging onto? What is it that you're finding security in your insecure moments? Who are you clinging onto? And the hope is that we're all clinging onto this presence of God, that we would decide, man, I'm going to stay close to God even when I feel like I don't have a grip on my life. I know that God has a grip on mine, and I'm going to cling on to this God who created me. This God who has a plan for my life, that I'm going to stay close even in the dark. The dark can be confusing because in the dark, you don't know the way forward. I'm good as long as I have a path forward. But in the dark, sometimes you don't know where you're going or what's happening. So stay close to God even in the dark. The fourth thing is trust God with what you can't control. You know, there are some things in our lives that we have lots of control over. Like you got up today and you got dressed. Way to go. You look good. You put that on. That was good. Good job. You know, you had control over that. You drove here. You could have drove somewhere else. You drove here. Way to go. Like you had control over that. But there are going to be things that are going to happen this week that you have zero control over. And those are the things in my own life that I have the most difficult time trusting God with. Like there will be news that will come your way and my way this week that we don't know about right now. And some of it's going to be news that we don't want. Will you trust God with the outcome of that news? Or even in the waiting of the outcome of the news? Or will you be prone to anxiety? And David had plenty of things. Again, I think this psalm hits a whole lot different understanding where David was at in this moment. He's on the run. He's in a challenging time. It's emotionally challenging, right? It's relationally challenging because it's his own son. He's got difficulty happening here. But we go on to read this in verse 9. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. That's pretty harsh because he's talking about his own son. Verse 11. I've never been that mad at my son. Verse 11. But the king will rejoice in God. Now notice this. It's a lowercase king, and he's the king of Israel. So he's talking about himself. He says, the king will rejoice in God. All who swear to tell the truth will praise him, while liars will be silent. What is he saying here? He's saying, God, I'm trusting in you. Even though the circumstances are not ideal, even though it's not going my way, God, I'm putting my trust, my hope, my salvation in you. And I think sometimes when we look at our situations that we're in, we realize, man, this is all very fragile. I think about this wilderness experience, this desert experience that David is experiencing, and I want to be careful that I'm not making David out to be the hero here, because the real hero of David's story is God. And the real hero of our story is the same God. And the parallels of David's life actually parallels the life of Christ, like Jesus' life. You know, Jesus himself experienced a wilderness time period. Jesus himself had people that misunderstood him, that misrepresented him, that betrayed him, that talked trash about him. And so if you ever had that happen to you, I want you to rest in this. You're in really great company. Because the Son of God also had people talk trash on him and misrepresent him and misunderstand him. In fact, Jesus says this about satisfaction. Look at this in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He's not just talking about like a physical bread here. He's talking about if you need nourishment, if you need help, I'm here. I'm the bread of life. And interesting, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And the slang term, you know, every town kind of has like a slang term for the town. The slang term for Bethlehem was house of bread. Which I think is pretty wild, isn't it? That the bread of life would be born in the house of bread. I think I love that little tie-in. It's pretty cool. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And then he says this, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Have you ever just been in that place where you're just really thirsty? I don't like being thirsty, so I keep water bottles around all the time. In my car right now, there's four different water bottles. And I don't have like bougie water bottles, because similar to this, they always get stolen from me or I lose them. Like, it's not just my kids, but I know I had an Awala last summer for 2 weeks, and magically it became one of my kids. It's fine. I think it was Jack's now. But so I gave up on having bougie water bottles. Now I just have like four different Aquafina empty water bottles in my car in case, you know, I go to the gym or whatever, I need to fill up at the water fountain, because I'm not going to drink out of the water fountain. And you need to know something about me. As your pastor, I'm pretty pretentious, but I've seen people spit in those, and I'm not going to get my face near that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in third grade, so I'm just, I mean, I fill a water bottle up. And so I feel like I'm saving the environment, and it's a good thing. But man, I hate being thirsty. In fact, a weird tic that I have, this is an odd thing, is I always have water. This is dumb, but like when I'm preaching, you'll notice I always have a water cup up here. And I don't know, psychologically, it's just nice to know if I got thirsty, I could drink some water. Yeah, it feels nice, you know? I rarely use it, but it's just nice to know that I have it. And I know that when Jesus writes these words, or when Jesus says these words in John chapter 6, he's not just talking about H2O water. He's talking metaphorically about the fact that he recognizes that every soul is longing for something. And what Jesus is saying here is, let me satisfy your soul. I am the bread of life. Pursue me and you're not going to hunger. Like, and he goes on to say, you know, whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Like, pursue me. And I wonder today, are you pursuing him? So some next steps that I want everybody to think about is this, is start your day plugged into God. Like, not a false plug-in, but like literally start every day actually connected to him. And every one of us can do that and make that decision to say, I'm going to start my day with him. That instead of starting my day with my phone or starting my day with my problems, that I would start my day in a peaceful way, which is with my Savior. That we'd start every day plugged into God. The second thing is, maybe you could turn down the noise a little bit. I think there's noise in all of our lives, and the advantage of summer is maybe there's a little less noise. And, you know, if you're a stay-at-home mom, there's probably actually more noise. Sorry about that. Right? But, like, start, instead of, like, turning the TV on, turning Spotify on, like, one of the greatest things that some of us could do this week is take a car ride in silence. Like, instead of filling it all up all the time, taking that phone call, doing that thing, Like something I've been practicing recently is sometimes I'll just drive somewhere in complete silence and talk to God. But in order to hear from God, in order to talk to him, sometimes it requires turning down some of the noise and going, okay, I don't need background music all the time. I don't have to listen to another podcast. Okay, I don't have to do another thing. Like, right, I can just sit in God's presence and turn down the noise. The third thing is cling to Jesus, not control. Maybe today you just need to cling to him and go, man, I control so few things in my life. Maybe instead of running to the next thing, I can cling to this God who has a grip on my life anyways. What am I doing? Pursuing all these other things whenever the God of the universe has pursued a relationship with us. And he's welcoming us into that relationship, and instead we go, nah, I think I'll have a Cinnabon instead. And we reach for things that we know will only temporarily satisfy our souls. And so I wonder today, man, where are you at with this relationship with God? Are you running from one thing to the next, or are you slowing down and actually spending time with him? In fact, I want to give you a moment right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I wonder, just in the still of this moment, if we could, instead of running to the next thing, running to the next thing that we have on our schedule today, what if instead we ran to our Savior? What if we took on the posture of David and we told God, you are better than life itself? I want to give you a moment right now to slow down and just talk to him. Pray about your next step right there in your seat. I'm going to pray for you as well. God, we love you. And God, your presence in our lives is better than life itself. God, help us to find satisfaction only in you. Lord, I pray for the person that may need to set something aside so they can be with you. God, allow us to turn down the noise of our lives. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, it's so easy to just get busy, to get moving, to have so much noise around us, and to lose sight of those moments. I just need to cling to him and to lean into this relationship with Jesus. And my prayer for you this week is that you will be able to kind of quiet the noise and lean in and cling to him. No matter what you've been going through this week, that you have a God who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to step into your life in that way and walk with you. And I want to let you know, again, just a quick reminder, we have students that are at camp. Be praying for them. There's a QR code that's in the seat in front of you. There's lots of things that you can kind of connect with there, including we have a Dominican Republic trip that's coming up, and we have some slots that are still available. We're looking specifically for someone who might have some construction ability and or some medical ability as well. So both of those. So if that's something you're interested in, you can either use that QR code or you can even just talk to me about that afterwards. I want to thank you so much for your faithful giving here at Grace River. Your giving makes everything happen that happens here, including 125 students at camp, including what we're doing in the Dominican Republic. And so there's three different ways to give. You can also use that QR code that way as well. But thank you so much. We don't have outside sources that fund this thing. It's kind of all of us together being a part of that and seeing what God will do in and through that. And we get to celebrate what God does through our faithful giving in 2 weeks with our baptisms, too, as we see people taking that step of real life change and acknowledging their relationship with Jesus. So can't wait for that. And I hope you have a great week this week. We're continuing our series, Summer of the Psalms, next week. Why don't you stand with me as I close in just a quick word of prayer for you as well. And blessing over you. God, thank you so much for each person in this room. I pray your blessing upon each one, that they would know your peace, your care, the joy that you can bring. God, I pray that they would cling to you this week, that you bless each person, each family represented here as they go today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, everybody.